1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have been all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Go on down to, you got verse 18? Yeah. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. And down on to verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. God, make this easy to preach. I bind all three of them that walked in today. Make it easy to preach, Lord. Open our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I don't have anything funny to say today. I'm going to try my best not to get in trouble today. That's all. No, that won't happen. You know, now I wonder whatever I'm going to say up here. Because I really try to give myself over to the Lord, but it's really cool how the Lord just kind of like give me a little freedom to whatever, be me. Anyways, I'm really excited about the message today. I'm very excited about this because we've been talking about coming out of one season and moving into another season, right? We have left one season, we're into another, and it's important that we understand what season we're in to be able to accomplish what God wants for us to accomplish. And I'm very excited about this message. You know, I was telling Eli earlier, actually, we were talking about like preparing for messages, and I was telling him I feel like it's my job to like get all the ingredients together throughout the week. Like I could just feed some slop if I wanted to on Sunday mornings as a shepherd. You know, you got to feed the sheep, right? That's my job, to feed the sheep. I could feed some slop or some instant mashed potatoes, or I could get all the ingredients together, cook up a nice little stir fry, or a good little fried chicken and waffles, whatever the Lord is. I just grab the ingredients all throughout the week in my study time, and I love to see what God decides to cook up on Sunday mornings. I don't know what direction this is going today. I got notes. But we're going to see where the Holy Ghost goes. Okay? Y'all good with that? All right. So, we've been moving out of one season into a new season. I'm very excited about it. I love this text. I love this text. This is where I really felt led to. The end of last year, you know, the Lord was really prompting in my heart and letting me know that there was division coming, and there were some things that were happening within the church that would kind of, over the next like 8 to 10 months, would kind of show itself. And so God's been really, He's warned me, and I kind of waited until I felt like the time was right to kind of share that with you. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times people will think that division is like a bad thing, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think we have that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse, is it 19? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, but of course, there must be divisions among you, so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. I think it's when you have division and you have some stuff that's going on, like within the church and some things that are happening and taking place, what's important is that you understand how to handle it, right? Division is not a bad thing. Division is actually a good thing because God wants to make sure that he opens up our eyes to things, because if we're not in unity, then we can't accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish. And so what happens is the Lord is, he's very good about making things apparent to us when we desire for it to be apparent to us, when we're willing to listen to stuff. And so we've kind of moved out of this season where we're like, we've talked about this. We're not really out of it, but God's kind of highlighted some things so that he could show us where we're going next, right? And so this next season, one of our core values here at LifeGate Church, if you don't know, just toss this in here because we cover this in Life Track. And then down the hallway, we got all of our core values down there. Build unity is one of our core values. It's one of the most important things in a church body that you can have, right? And it's something that is critically important in any type of relationship, but definitely within any organization, right? And so it's important that we have unity. Now, what that unity looks like, I think, is a lot easier to think about or to talk about, but it's much more difficult to understand what our role is in it, right? Right, a lot of times we're like, okay, I see what the Bible says, I'm reading what it says, but what does that mean, right? Because, I mean, our mission statement here is to help people find their purpose through the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Every purpose fits into the body to do something, right? Right, because out of that season that we've been in and into this one, right, there are certain things all of us need to do, right? All of us got to share the gospel. We're all called to do that. Every single one of us, we've moved out of a season of being silent and letting people just see how we live. And now we got to just not just let people see how we live, but we got to share the good news. We got to share the gospel with people. That's part of all of our jobs. Every single one of us have the job and purpose in our life to open our mouths and share the gospel. Right? Now we're also moving out of a season where we're kind of just like, I don't know, domesticated. And we've moved into a place of activation. Right, where God's called us to be an army. The army is not there just to sit pretty, have a little outfit, wear a nice little uniform, carry something that looks like a weapon, but don't use it. No, an army, a military, is supposed to do things, not just sit there and look like they do things. You train so that you can fight in battles that you're called to fight in, when you're called upon to fight in them. And God's called us out of this season of sitting back into a season of, may I say it, war. I don't know if you have looked around and watched and seen all around the whole nations, all of them. I don't know if you keep an eye on the Middle East. The whole Bible's written about it, so you should. You should know what's going on in Saudi Arabia, in Israel, in Egypt. That's Africa, North Africa, West Asia, Yemen. Y'all should pay a little bit of attention to what's going on there, because that's what the Bible's about, okay? I ain't got time to preach on all that stuff today. I'm not getting there. However, it's important that we know what our role is as the body of Christ here, to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do next. Okay, so what does your part look like? Okay, what does your part look like? Now, the first thing that Paul tells us in verse 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Now, it's interesting to me. Now, Paul spends all of his time talking about the stuff that you see, right? He spends all of his time talking about the ears and the eyes and the hands and the feet and all the body parts that we see on the outside. But if you know this, if you know this about your body, little anatomy and physiology lesson, you got these things on the inside that make it go, right? Like, you got a heart and you got a brain and you got a liver and you got kidneys, got lungs, right? You got all these things, the esophagus, the spleen. Oh, y'all didn't know I knew some of them body parts, huh? The gallbladder. Uranus. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my gosh. You got to get rid of the mess somehow, y'all. Y'all awake? You got, You got all these different things that you don't see, right? And I think that sometimes the church gets to a place where we think that we have to, in order to be a part of the church and do something at the church, it's something that's seen. But the bottom line is the body of Christ doesn't, it's not everybody's supposed to sing on a stage. Not everybody's supposed to preach. Not everybody's supposed to play an instrument. We all have different roles and different jobs, and sometimes those are behind the scenes. But just because people don't see you working and see you doing things doesn't mean that your job is not important. And I want to make sure that you hear me today, because it's important that you understand that we need the church to start doing the little things. Some of you may feel like, oh, well, I don't have any role, I don't have any purpose, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not capable, I don't have enough time. You know what you can do? You can come on Wednesday nights at 7:30, and you can fill the backs of the pews with Connect cards. Or you can make sure that the soap is changed out. Or you can show up and stuff envelopes one day. You don't have to be seen to be doing the work of the Lord that's needed and necessary to make sure that everything runs smoothly. You have a job to do. And I don't want for you to feel like or think at this point in time, what we need to get on the same page and make sure that we understand everybody's job is important. It doesn't matter if it's seen or not seen. It's important. Some of you literally just need to put a smile on your face. It's like, are you full of joy? If you smiled, it'd break your face. Right? Some of you need to be a little bit more energetic. How you doing?
Yeah. I'm good.
Are you?
Yep, doing good.
I'm here. I love that line. I'm here. I see that. Right, but the church has got to come to a place where we all just say, all right, it's time to do something. It's time to find our place. And just because you don't feel like it's super important doesn't mean that you don't need to do it. You need to do it. If there's something that you need to do it. I don't care what it is. Your purpose is directly tied to your obedience. You can't fulfill your purpose unless you step into something and be obedient to do something, no matter how minor you think that it is. I'm going to cover some stuff today that is a little bit elementary in its purpose and thought. But y'all, we have got to get to a place where we're unified and we're working, all of us, not just letting one arm work or one hand work while we're sitting down and letting everything else rest. We all got to get in sync, okay? So, let's go to verse, I want to look at that. No, you know what? I'm not going to cover that scripture. I'm actually just going to tell you a story, okay? Because I want you to understand the way that things work together, okay? Because I think that sometimes it's easy for us to like say, okay, that's great. Am I a hand? Am I a foot? No? Well, yeah, you are, but you're not, right? Like you're a human being, right? So the body looks a little bit different. And so I want to tell you a Bible story that I think is going to help you understand a little bit about the way that the body should work together, okay? Back in Luke chapter 1, angel of the Lord came to Zechariah, okay? And there was a little lady in her 80s, and God put a baby in her. His name was John the Baptist, right? Made her womb wide open, ready to go, have a child at an old age. I'm like, In baby having years, 80 something's extra old. I'm not saying that's extra old, right? 80 is the new like 50. 45. Get me in trouble again. Golly. All right. But baby having age, that's like extra old, right? I mean, like, stuff done closed up. Bones is getting brittle. I don't know if stuff stretches the same and collapses the same. I don't know if they had stitches back then. That's how you have a baby. What's wrong with y'all? Looking up here like I'm saying something that's not right. All right, ladies, am I right? Yeah, yeah. We speak truth up here, no matter how gross it is. Right, so here's it, right? Elizabeth gets pregnant, and she becomes pregnant with John the Baptist, right? And then 6 months later, Gabriel comes back to Mary, right? And Gabriel comes to Mary, and all of a sudden, he tells Mary, she's going to have a baby. Now, Mary was a virgin, a real young lady, okay? Like, the context of the word virgin, also in the Hebrew, it also means, like, young. Young, right? Okay, so it's not just someone who's celibate, it was someone who's young, too. So you got here, you got this really young girl and this really old lady pregnant at the same time. Now, here's what's crazy. Some of y'all think, like, what is going on here? How does this work together? Here's how this works together. Okay, so Elizabeth was old. Nobody, I don't think, is really catching the fact that God put a new thing in someone old. I don't. Because, see, here's the thing I hear a lot as a pastor. I hear this a lot as a pastor. You know, my days are behind me. I'm just a little too old now. I can barely get to church. I can barely do this. I can barely do that. I'm too old for all this. I can't do this no more. God's got to use somebody else. I'm just not made for this. I ain't cut out for this. I ain't got the type of energy anymore. I ain't got it inside of me. I'm just a little too old. But I'm going to tell you something. God put a baby inside an 80-something-year-old woman. I came to tell some older people in here today, if you got breath in your body, God ain't done with you yet. We got some old people in here who are pregnant with something that's supposed to pave the way. Some of y'all old people pregnant with a job in your belly. You're pregnant with purpose. You're pregnant with a plan. God's got something that he's putting inside of you, and it's time for you to stop doubting because of your age. Stop listening to the enemy say, you're too old for this. No, you're not. God put a baby inside of Sarah. He put it inside of Elizabeth. If he wants to put a dream inside your belly, it's time for you to accept the will of the Lord. It's time for you to accept his plan. It's time for you to say, I don't care how old I am. I will do what you say to do, God. If you got breath in your body, you're here for a reason. And it's time for us to stop acting like God can't put something inside of us. But see, here's the deal. Even though she was older, Mary needed somebody that was older. Come on. We've started acting like the church has got to be filled with just a bunch of young people. I'm tired of hearing that. We need both young and old. Middle-aged, everybody. Because there's wisdom. And there's experience that the young people can glean from. But I love it. I love this too, though. Because Mary needed Elizabeth. Elizabeth needed Mary. But for some reason, we just act like everything's a competition instead of understanding both had a purpose. You don't need to be like another mama. You need to mama the thing that God put inside of you. We got too many people who want to compete with each other. Want to be something they're not. Want to act like somebody they're not. Because they saw somebody else do it and they want to be just like them. God ain't called you to be like nobody else. He called you to be you. And so here, this is the craziest part. This is the crazier part. You know, Jesus needed John just as much as John needed Jesus. The Savior of the whole world needed the guy to pave a way for him. You might not be someone who can save something, but you sure can pave a way. And some of y'all in here need to understand, your job may be to pave the way for someone younger, may be to pave the way for someone else. It may not be for you to be seen. It may be that God has put something inside of you to start clearing out. All right, I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to pray for this young person. I'm going to intercede on their behalf because they need my help in prayer. They need me to intercede on their behalf because they don't know what they're coming up against. But God, I feel it. I feel it in my bones. I see it. I see it right now. I can see that they're under attack. And so I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. I'm going to intercede. You ain't got to be seen. God sees everything you do in your prayer closet. And it's about time for the church to make a decision that I don't have to be seen to fulfill my job. I just got to prepare ye the way. But this is cool. I got to tell y'all this because I don't know if I was, I didn't know if I was going to go here or not, but I am. You know where... So, anybody know where Jesus was from? Nazareth. Oh, that's crazy. Some of y'all are like, what? Right. Y'all remember when Nathaniel, all right, so it says in Luke chapter 1 that Gabriel came and visited Mary in Nazareth. Okay? I love the way that the Lord uses agriculture, just like Paul is using the body, all right, because everything works together, right? Right, and Jesus was like in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the, right, okay, the branches. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, y'all listen to this. This is cool. I'm going to wrap this whole thing together. I'm going to tie a pretty little bow on top, and we're going to shred that thing wide open and dance. All right, here we go. Look at this. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. In a different version, it says, I will raise up a branch. Y'all didn't know. I didn't know. Nazareth means a branch. Oh my God, it's so cool. It's like, can anything good come from Nazareth? Yeah, the branch. Okay, all right, so that's not even the coolest part. This is the coolest part. Go to 1 Corinthians. No, hold on. It's not there. Romans chapter 11. I didn't even tell you this, but it's in Romans chapter 11. I think it's verse 24. Romans 11, verse 24. See if you can pull that up. This is crazy. It's crazy. You, by nature, were a branch. Cut from a wild olive tree. I said, Lord, what's all this got to do together? Because I know you're piecing all the puzzles together. He said, I needed a wild branch. Because my people got too religious. I said, oh, that's me. And that's LifeGate Church. Because we got some wild people in here who've been through some mess. We got some former drug addicts, gang members, people who've been here with a whole bunch of mess, and they wild. We got some wild ones in the house because God needed somebody to lift up a voice and lift up a shout when nobody else would. Who are we got? Oh, we a wild one. What part of the body do we fit in, God? Oh, you a wild one. My God. Don't tell me God can't bring a bunch of crazy people together who are on fire for God. He needed a wild one. How's his body work together? He needs some wild ones. We the wild ones. My God. I just loved it. I loved it. I'm like, yo, that's cool, Jesus. You went to a city to be born from a place just to make sure that everybody knew that the prophets were right. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Yeah, a wild one. I don't know if y'all paid attention, but Jesus did some wild stuff. And now is a time in our history, the history of the world, where it's not going to be Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes, he does. Praise you, Jesus. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones didn't belong. Yes, Jesus. He abides. Hallelujah, he abides. If he living with you, you ought to have something about you that looks different, that sounds different, that acts different, that walks different, that talks different, that sings different, that worships different, that shouts different, that even sits different. Why? Because there's something inside of you that's wild. There's something inside of you that was not made normal. There's something inside of you that was called to come out. Come out! For such a time as this. But there's one thing I want to make sure we cover right as we finish and we close. I want to look at this. Let's go to verse 18. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Man. I think the biggest problem with the church, we try to go places we're not supposed to be. We try to do things we were never called to do. We try to fit our square self in a round hole. We try to do things we're never anointed to do, never called to do, because we watch somebody else do it and we say, I could do that. I think I could probably even do that better than they do. I heard of pride much. But I want to mention this. Every time, you ever seen those commercials? I'm closing too. I really am. I'm going to close. You ever seen those commercials where, you know, someone's like, you should take this medicine, give you the life that you always wanted. And they talk about it real good, right? Talk about, oh man, this medication will save your life. This medication saved my life, and it can save yours too. Yeah. You ever heard those commercials? And then at the end, side effects are heart attack, constant diarrhea. Wheezing. Swelling of the esophagus. Sudden dips in oxygen levels. The Plavix is right for me, and it could be for you too. But the Lord wanted me to make sure that you understand, that all of us understand, when you don't do your job, there's a side effect that could be fatal. When you and I step out of what we're supposed to be doing, we step out of the place where we're supposed to be. We start trying to be something else that we're not. We start walking into places we got no business walking into. We start walking out of places we ain't got no business leaving. We start acting a certain way because we need to fix a certain situation. You know what happens? Most of the time that comes because someone's judgmental about someone else. And they're like, well, you ain't being the hand right. I need to be the hand for you. No, because you can't pick up what I can hold. Because you ain't a hand, you a foot. And I want to make sure to help you understand. You got to start figuring out what it is that you're supposed to do. And if it's something that you know, hey, I'm supposed to do this thing. If you know it, someone else above you will know it too. And if you can't submit, we were shouting a minute ago. You know how many things my overseer has asked me to do? Like that, I do it. Do I have to always agree? Maybe not. But if I'm going to be in a place of authority, I got to understand my existence under authority as well. God will not place you over anybody if you can't sit under somebody. That's about placement. It's about placement. Where does God want you? If he wants you there, somebody else will see it. He'll speak to them. And then he'll have them put you there. We got to come to a place where we say, God, if this is where you want me, I don't care if I'm not seen. I don't care if I'm not heard. I don't care if nobody knows what I do. But if I can be right here and pave a way, you can put whatever you want inside of me to pave the way. Make me a way paver, and you be the way maker. Come on, church, stand with me all over the building. This morning, we praise you. We praise you for your presence. We praise you for your power, your awesomeness, your might, your glory. And God, we ask you right now in this very moment, Lord, that you would set the captives free. Lord, every person that came in here thinking that I don't have a purpose anymore, that you have abandoned them, God, I pray that they are reminded that you are a God of promise. You are a God of breakthrough. You are a God who takes people places. You're a way maker, a miracle worker. That's who you are, God. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that all across the room, people would leave here today understanding that their purpose in life, Lord, no matter how small it may seem, is vastly important. You are a good God. You are a great God. You are an awesome God. Let us work together in unity, God. Let us work with each other, hand in hand, collectively to accomplish the purpose that you have set out for this church, God, in this community, in this region, in this nation, and in this world. We put no borders on you. We put no boundaries on you, God. You take us where you want to take us. Do what you want to do through us. And we will be obedient, Lord. We love you. We praise your name. We worship you. It's in Jesus' name.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.